नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We're going to read two texts this morning. 18 and 19, they're connected, short purports. Through me shuramsya sutadhara vatsalo yavaya dino vivashak swabhandane Pachit Pramadad Giri Kandari Patan Valim Grahitva Gajabhita Astataha Drumeshuram Syam Sutadhara Vatsalo Vyavayadino Vivashak Swabhandane Vachit Pramadad Giri Kandari Patan Valim Gahitva Gajabhita Astataha Drumeshu, in the trees, or in the houses standing like trees, in which monkeys jump from one branch to another. Ramsyan, enjoying. Sutadhara vatsala, being attached to the children and wife. Yavayadinaha, who is poor-hearted because of acting on the platform of sex desire. Vivashaha, unable to give up. Svabandhane, in the bondage of the reactions of one's own activities. Kvachit, sometimes. Pramadat, from fear of imminent death. Girikandhare, in a cave in a mountain. Patan, falling down. Valim, the branches of a creeper. Grahitva, capturing. Gajabhitaha, being afraid of the elephant of death. Astataha, remains in that position. Translation, when the living entity becomes exactly like a monkey, jumping from one branch to another, he remains in the tree of household life, without any profit but sex. Thus, he is kicked by his wife, just like the hiyas. Unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Sometimes, he falls victim to an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave. He becomes afraid of death, which is like the elephant in the back of the cave, and he remains stranded, grasping at the twigs and branches of a creeper. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The precarious condition of a householder's life is described herein. A householder's life is full of misery, and the only attraction of sex, the only attraction is sex with the wife who kicks him during sexual intercourse, just as the she-yes does her mate. Due to continuous sex life, he falls victim to many incurable diseases. At that time, being afraid of death, which is like an elephant, he remains hanging from the twigs and branches of the tree, just like a monkey. And the next verse. O killer of enemies, Maharaj Rahugana, if the conditioned soul somehow gets out of his dangerous position, he again returns to his home to enjoy sex life, for that is the way of attachment. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Purport. This is the way of material life. When one is captured by sexual attraction, he becomes implicated in so many ways and cannot understand the real aim of life. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 7531 says, that's Prahlad Maharaj, Na te vidu svartakatim hi vishnum. Generally, people do not understand the ultimate goal of life. As stated in the Vedas, Om tad vishno param padam sada pashanti surayaha. Those who are spiritually advanced simply look to the lotus feet of Vishnu. The conditioned soul, however, not being interested in reviving his relationship with Vishnu, becomes captivated by material activities and remains in everlasting bondage, being misled by so-called leaders. This is a lot of the same message, isn't it? Like, just different varieties of being captured by the glare of Maya. The section is focusing on the poor householder. The attached householder. I wanted to focus a little bit on this second line, Vyavaya Dino Vivishak Svabandhani. Vyavaya Dino Vivishak Svabandhani. The word for word, Vyavaya Dina, Dina means poor. Vyavaya Dina, one who is poor-hearted. And the phrase resonates well with a phrase that's found in Bhagavad Gita, Hridaya Dorbalyam. Arjun is asked by Krishna, Anarya Jushtam Ashvargyam. You're an Aryan, Arjuna. That means you know the higher value of life. That's Aryan, Prabhupada's rendering. You know the higher value of life. So how has this petty weakness of heart overcome you? Harinam Chintamani by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a discussion, it's a book that's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur. And the subject is the holy name, Harinama Chintamani, so the subject is the holy name. And like Lord Chaitanya did with Ramananda Roy, where Lord Chaitanya was taking the position of the student and asking his teacher, Ramananda Roy, to answer his inquiry, what's the goal of life, how to achieve it. But actually, Lord Chaitanya was the teacher wanting to examine his student. So as Ramananda Roy gave answers, so Lord Chaitanya similarly in relation to the holy name is asking questions about the holy name. And Haridas Thakur, the Acharya for the holy name on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, again the teacher is examining the student. So in that Harinam Chintamani, there's discussion following Rupa Goswami's teachings of the stages of bhakti that unfold through the chanting of the holy name or through the process of devotional service, beginning with the holy name. Nama granadibhi, the devotional service begins in this way, hearing and chanting. And then the rest of devotional service flows from that. So, when discussing the stage of anartha nivritti, of overcoming anarthas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Haridas Thakur says that the anarthas are of different categories. And one of those categories is Hridaya Dorbalyam. And another one is Asat Trishna. And another is Aparad. So, unwanted things arise in the heart due to Aparad. In a similar manner, I'll come back to Harinam Chintamani, but we'll go over here for a moment to Madhurya Kandambani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In chapter 4, he similarly analyzes the anarthas that block our vision of Krishna. The anarthas are compared to clouds or mist that obscure or obfuscate. When the clouds are in the sky, you can't directly see the sun. There's some light, it's daytime, but if there's clouds, you can't see the sun. So the full brightness of the sun is absent when there's clouds, and depending on how thick the clouds are, less and less and less bright. So I understand in the Vaishnava Academy, they're learning different names of the clouds, cumulus clouds and all the different types of clouds, science class. So depending upon the density of the cloud, it covers the light of the sun from our vision. Similarly, the anarthas in the heart cover our ability to chant the holy name properly. Fortunately, the holy name removes those anarthas, the anartha nivritti process, if one chants properly. And there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, slightly different list, but he says, the anarthas can be analyzed according to their root or where they arise from, where the cloud comes from. So the concept is similar. Now back to Harinam Chintamani. Anarthas in the heart arise from different sources. So asat, trishna. Trishna means thirst. Thirst for the impermanent. Hankering for happiness on the material platform. So offenses is something that's similar in both of the lists. Offenses, from offenses arise impurities. Now back to Madhurya Kandambani specifically, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the holy name is so wonderful, so marvelous, so fantastic, that if there are offenses that arise from seva aparad, the chanting of the holy name eradicates them. Unless one continues going on deliberately making seva aparad, thinking it's no problem because I'll just chant Hare Krishna and it'll make everything clean, then that's another offense. That's nam aparad. But seva aparad is addressed or eliminated, the anartha arising from that, through the chanting of the holy name, fortunately. Because we're very clumsy creatures and we make offenses when we execute our activities. So that's something they share. But Hridaya Dorbalyam is weakness of heart, where in the case of Arjuna, he was an Aryan. He knew the higher purpose of life. And this verse, similarly, is using a quite similar phrase, Vyavaya Dina, poor-hearted. Poor-hearted because from the previous verse, yesterday's verse, sometimes, this kadachit phrase is repeated, sometimes one, being materially exhausted, looks for a spiritual solution and gets cheated by cheaters. And then they may leave those cheaters by the good fortune of a Paramahansa Vaishnava or a great, great devotee of the Lord and take up the practice of devotion. But such person may not continue. The word that we discussed yesterday was this arochayan. Arochayan. Not being satisfied with because of now it's the anatomy is going further. Weakness of heart. I know what's right, but I don't do it. That's the Sridaya Dorbalyam or Vyavaya Dina. Dina, unfortunate or fallen. Poor-hearted soul. I know what's right, but I don't do it. So that's not an unfamiliar territory for all of us, because our teaching is very high. And we know that very high teaching is pure, and we're not there yet. So in our japa retreats, there's this language of a gap between where we are and what we know. And we'd like to close the gap. So, that which holds us, what is that weakness of heart that's being said? Vivisha, svabandhane. Vivisha is unable to give up. It's the second line of the verse. Vivisha, unable to give up. Unable to give up that which I'm holding. Like the classic example. Classic example is this is one of the earliest, just put it in a colorful personal context. The very first Back to Godhead magazine I received had an article by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in it. And the second one, with the Vedanta, its ontology and morphology, like, whoa. And then the next one had like a cartoon drawing, not a cartoon, an illustration, a sketch of another Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur reference, which was during the Brajmandal Parikrama Bhaktisiddhanta conducted, much like is going on today. In fact, it's patterned after following the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta, where they leave the temple in the current program. They leave the temple and don't come back for a month. Well, they come back for Govardhan Puja and then go back out again. But the whole time is just walking in Braj. And they set up camp, different places where places that give facility for us. And so we stay at some school or someplace and have meals there and then go to the next place. So you're like detached from comfort and you're immersed in Braj. It's very wonderful for those who take part in it. And when Bhaktisiddhanta conducted such Brajmandal Parikrama, in the evening he held a little program. I mean, there were some thousands of people, so it was more than a little program, pandal. And at the end of the presentation, some questions. So one of the questions was, why is it we see that two persons side by side both seem to be equally vigorously engaged in devotional activity? One seems over a period of time to make lots of progress, one seems to make not the same progress. Why is that? And then he told the wedding party story, which we're all familiar with. So that's the context. Wedding day, the family of the male groom hires a boatman to take them to the bride's place, and they wake up the next morning because that's the tradition, and where the wedding takes place at the bride's place, and after the wedding, the bride comes back to the other place, husband's place. So they all night long, they were sleeping, the boatman was rowing, and in the morning, the boat was in the same place. They were very upset with the boatman, and the reason it didn't go anywhere is because the anchor was down. Thinking Prahlad's going to make a nice drawing of the boatman. And the anchor is down. So, similarly, when one maintains attachments, this is one of our 10 offenses, despite knowing, receiving so much instruction in this matter, maintaining attachments, even we know better, that's this Hridaya Durbalyam. We know better. I mean, all of us, we know better. But we have our favorite ones that we maintain. You know, some of them we let go of, but we have our favorite ones and we maintain them. And that makes our progress impeded. You can't get very far rowing your boat if you keep the anchor down. You can't make much progress spiritually if one maintains material attachments. And those material attachments are from one's svabandhana. It's the bondage of one's of the reactions of one's own activities. You can't blame somebody else. Well, you can blame somebody else, but it's not very honest. It's not a clear understanding of the reality. The reality is our situation is something that we have created. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita. Sada sad yoni janmasu, our good fortune, ill fortune that comes our way is the fruit of our past activity. And so here's a problem. No, I get so absorbed in the problem that I forget what the purpose is. And by the way, life is filled with problems. It's the nature of the place. Even if we're good people, it's filled with problems. It's the nature of the place. Because we wouldn't come here if we weren't criminals. If we weren't rebellious against Krishna. In that sense, criminal. Wishing to take the property of Krishna and use for oneself instead. So we're dirty. We're contaminated by that mentality. And we're in the association of other criminals that do the same thing. And so like that's the program. And our higher understanding is that's not the right program. It's the program of persons in prison, but it's not the program of those who are free from prison life. We're told that just like criminals in a prison. We're given the opportunity for reforming our criminal-like mentality, stealing the property of Krishna, using it independently and separately. We know better. Like, you know, someone that has an addiction problem, whatever that might be. There's different varieties. But, you know, the generic one is addicted to enjoying separately from Krishna. And because the focus of Jad Bharat in speaking to the king is family life, then consistently, in Prabhupada's writings, he would point to sex life. I mean, it's what makes the world go round. Where this spider and that spider, or this bird and that bird, or this panda bear and that panda bear, or this mosquito and that mosquito, they keeps the cycle of life going on is however one wants to look at it, whether it's genetically coded or the modes of nature or whatever the model is you like to look at things through. It's the program. Male-female attraction makes the world go round. It's there. And then there's different varieties, you know, male-male attraction, male and female-female attraction. You know, they got a gene scramble or whatever it is. But if the attraction specifically for that kind of association, it's number one on the hit parade since the beginning of time, the bestseller. Songs and, you know, what, et cetera. Stories and art and whatever. However, it's cloaked. It's what keeps people going in material existence. So, having left the position of the cheater persons, having left the material situation, looking for spiritual, taking shelter of a cheater person, leaving that, taking shelter of a qualified person, being weak in heart, again taking shelter of those personalities, or going back to their household ways of material attachment, male-female association, with the inevitable attraction, number one on the hit parade attraction. So the language isn't specifically in the verse, but Prabhupada is making it graphically clear that the monkey-like behavior, again the reference is from the previous verse, is this sex attraction, or make it a little softer, male-female attraction. You know, because in Krishna consciousness we have this, the fourth regular principle. Since some people don't have a problem with, and some people have a problem with, whether they're not married or whether they're married, they have a problem or they don't have a problem. But otherwise, even just the happiness of male-female association, happiness. So the apparent happiness, the lure of this looks like happiness situation. It's the vyavaya dina vivishak subhandane. It's just a perpetuation of our previous activity. Subhandane. Having been involved in this since time immemorial, it just comes natural. And whatever, again, whatever one wants to look at as the impetus, it's just the continuation of the previous involvement in matter. So now here we are, practicing devotees. We've had the association of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's teachings, and those who are trying to follow Prabhupada's teachings, and kirtan and japa and deity worship, and you know, we have all had our wonderful experiences in Krishna consciousness that tell us very clearly this is something genuine. Our experience tells us, our intelligence tells us, and yet there's lingering attachment to the other. There may be. And that's the Hridaya Dorbalyam, or Prabhupada writes in the verse, unable to gain release, he remains helplessly in that position. Unable to gain release means I don't want to let go. Or can't means won't. Or can't, Prabhupada said, is a word in the Fool's Dictionary. Can't means won't. I don't want to. Right? I mean, the will is not sufficiently strong. I'm not sure it's a biblical saying, but it's like within the Christian circuit at least, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, the spirit is willing, but not so willing. Mix. I'm willing, but not so willing. And that's the monster is that weakness, that lack of resolve, the lack of faith, the lack of shelter taking, the lack of submission, the paucity in that area. Because the potential is certainly there within Krishna and Krishna's internal potency. But we remain attached to the affairs of the external potency. And we just get kicked around like a football or a soccer ball. And from one thing to the next thing, we get released from one thing, we find ourselves in another thing, we get released from that thing, we find ourselves back in the previous thing. That's what's being said. So the examples given are specifically like a monkey jumping around in a tree, or a house that's like a tree, moving here and there, hoping for happiness and indulging the senses, and then getting kicked. Unable to get release. Unable to get release means an unwillingness to get release. He falls victim to sometimes an incurable disease, which is like falling into a mountain cave and then fear of I may die. So there's the elephant in the cave. So it's a fearful situation. Death is approaching, and maybe that incurable disease gets cured or circumstances change. Now where does he go? He goes back to the former. Due to attachment or losing sight of the real option, you know, the position of reality, the position of who we really are. So it's very important to connect with who we really are, and very important to connect with those who know who they are and keep their association rather than the association, as we were discussing yesterday, of persons otherwise situated. Because then our activities and our consciousness will become similarly clouded. Thus, under the spell of the Lord's material energy, he continues to loiter in the forest of material existence. He does not discover his real interest, even at the point of death. Just so two things and we'll end. In a few of Prabhupada's lectures, I've heard him speak the following. There was one king who was curious. He wanted to know. So he asked his minister, how long does this sex desire continue? And his minister said, right up till the point of death. And the king said, no. Certainly when one gets older, on the verge of death, they're not thinking sex life. Certainly. And the minister said, I will prove it to you. So, some time passed. The king forgot the question. The minister didn't forget the question. And one fine day, long time later, the minister sent a message to the king, come with me at once. Minister telling the king, come with me at once. But because he's a qualified minister, he trusted the minister, he came. And the message was, and bring your daughter with you, bring princess. So he went to see the minister, and the minister said, let's go. We made an arrangement for a conveyance. We're going to the deathbed of one very elderly gentleman. And when we go before the deathbed of this elderly gentleman, watch his eyes very carefully. And here's the king coming before a man who's on his deathbed. And the man that's on his deathbed is looking at the princess, not the king. So right away, the king was very intelligent. He understood exactly what the minister was doing. He was proving, even up to the point of death, this attraction. Male-female attraction is very, very strong. Knowing that, it's one of the main marketing things for anything. Whether it's toothpaste or shoes or a car or whatever it is, you know, I don't want to go into it. But, you know, it's one of the main ways of selling things. Yes? From your experience in marketing. You know, children, animals, and sex. Sell. And they get a little frustrated when, you know, they use the hook and the product doesn't sell. Something's wrong. What went wrong? But it doesn't matter. You just get people to look at the advertisement by showing a half-naked woman. And poor woman. But she, you know, she makes some money and so she does it. And then people go buy the product. They're just like donkeys. It's awful. But makes the world go round. It's good for the economy. Etc. I mean, without going into it more. So, to extricate ourselves from the material atmosphere, the toxic material atmosphere, there has to be a brake pedal. And there has to be a gas pedal. And the gas pedal is getting strength where we know strength belongs. And placing our attention there, just like chanting, placing our attention upon the holy name. Not just chanting and letting the mind go to awful things or anything. There's a discipline of the mind that's necessary. In the beginning, it's regulative. And as one becomes purified, then it becomes more spontaneous. But the regulative is required to get to the spontaneous stage where there's purification. And adjusting our lifestyle so that it's conducive. If one is a brahmachari, there's standards. If one is a householder, there's standards. And we don't move from those standards because it's conducive, suited for our nature, to move lifestyle-wise towards transcendence. And then the means of transcendence primarily is the hearing and chanting activity, just as we're doing. This is our life in our temple. You know, in simple, it's morning and evening program. And there's a reason for it. And then our activities that we do in the course of the day are to assist us in furthering, acting upon that activity of do this for Krishna. And there may be some, say, fruitive feature to it. You know, how many books did you sell? Or how many plates of prasad, or wait, boxes you call it? I'm looking at Rasika Manjari. Boxes? Huh? Yes. So, Prabhupada was interested in numbers. He was interested in how many books sold, how many devotees. He wasn't shy. He was very clear about it. But the purpose was for offering to Krishna, making a nice offering. You know, like how many flowers should we place on the altar this morning for the decoration? It's not unlimited because our resources are not unlimited, but we'd like to increase and increase and increase quantitatively. But the purpose of that, the spirit behind it, should not be the fruitive one. It should be the devotional one. Make the nicest kinds of offerings. Make the nicest menu and make the nicest arrangements for book distribution and Harinam and so forth. How many people come for Janmashtami function and like all that. So quantity is fine, but for the purpose of making a nice offering for the pleasure of Krishna. And then what we do afterwards, it's just like a little sharing from before coming here for Janmashtami, I was in St. Louis for Balaram's appearance day. And during Balaram's appearance day, they made a very nice flower arrangement on the altar and so forth. And then it just stayed there. And the flowers dried. They have a nice like arching kind of thing behind the deities. It just was just these dried flowers stuck on the arching thing and dried dead flowers hanging on the altar, and it just stayed there the whole time I was there. I asked them, you know, it's the decoration is for the pleasure of the Lord, and removing them when they're no longer attractive and no longer like fresh flowers, they should be removed. So, you know, the activity of cleaning after we have a festival and put things away, and it, you know, you get the idea. The activities to expand and the activities to keep things maintained, it's all for the pleasure of Kishore Kishori or pleasure of Krishna. And that should be our consciousness. That's our great opportunity. And it provides an opportunity. By doing that, that's the positive. It helps us keep our attention away from the negative. And if we slacken in the positive, we'll find the negative popping up or coming into our midst. The lower nature things. You know, the Kali Yuga quarreling and stuff. Struggling with our mind and senses. The cure is the purification from the devotional process while uprooting these other tendencies, not lingering and loitering and procrastinating and being lazy and complacent. We want to be clean and strive for purity and continue moving in that direction. That's what we want to do. And these verses are encouraging us in that way. So we'll end, see if there's any discussion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was wondering if there's a fundamental principle that keeps us in that weakness of heart. You had a lot of discussion today, but I remember...
That keeps us
in that weakness of heart, anartha category, that...
Attachment.
So then my question then is, there's a place in one of our popular scriptures where Krishna mentions there's a couple of things that have to be overcome, like fears. Like a fear of a relationship, I believe, is one of them.
Vitaraga bhaya krodha. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I was wondering if, in my mind, I was thinking that there was a correlation between weakness of heart and this statement by Krishna. I wanted to know if you could talk about that.
Sure. You know, you can analyze in terms of the positive or the negative. The negative is an attachment to the negative, and the positive is going for the positive, but I may not go for the positive because of some attachment to the negative. And the correlation is attachment in fear to likening spiritual reality to material misery. Mistaking spiritual reality to be like material misery, because all I know is material misery, and so I don't want material misery, and therefore I conjure up an idea that's voidism or impersonalism. So specifically, Prabhupada comments in that purport that impersonalist and voidistic philosophies arise from the frustration of relationships in the material world that cause me misery. Not wanting misery, I conjure an impersonal and voidistic conception. One of the reasons why Buddhism is very popular. There's no commitment to a person. It's like, be peaceful, you know, all the nice things that you say about the mode of goodness, and there's no person. Be compassionate, be kind, and be peaceful. No commitment to a person. There's no reason at all, in fact, the opposite. There's every reason to accept that in the spiritual realm, there's person, there's love. There's love supreme. But I don't want the love supreme when I'm fearful that it's going to be more of the same. That's going to be like this, and I don't want more like this. So by negation, it's impersonal. And somebody may feel comfortable with that. You know, how close that matches reality and how close I can live my life accordingly, because we're social beings, we can't. Anyway. Nice idea. For some, at least. Anything else? Okay. Hare Krishna.